I mentioned a little bit ago that graduations are coming up. Do we have any seniors in high school here? Seniors in high school, probably 18 years old. Well, we've got a few here. I was just reflecting on when I was your age, senior in high school. And this thing that happened to me when I was that age, I was not dating anybody or seeing anybody and, you know, feeling a little lonely at the time and just thinking a lot about that. And when I opened the newspaper one day, and there was a picture in there of this really cute young woman. Pretty nice. So I cut it out and put it on the refrigerator in my home. I did. And that's a little weird. You know, because mom and dad are like, why did you put a picture on the fridge? And there was someone else in the picture, too, who our family knew. So that was kind of my excuse. But I had this picture on the refrigerator, and I just kind of enjoyed looking at that picture every time I'd go to get some whatever, you know, milk or whatever I was drinking at the time. All right. So I kind of just looked in at that for a little while, and then after a while, it got a little too weird to keep that picture up, so we took it down, and then a few weeks after that, I went to a Bible study that I had never been to before for young adults. I'd graduated, I'm kind of looking for a place to connect, and I connected. I met a young woman at that Bible study who I was, I don't know, you know what it's like when you meet someone that you just feel like, wow, this person's really special. And I met Kimberly in this Bible study. We stayed and talked for a couple of hours after it, you know, even the first time we met, and really connected. And I started to get to know her. And that summer, we kind of were friends and kind of exploring our relationship, but we were heading in different directions for school in the fall. And so we weren't really sure exactly what was going to happen next. And then we went to school. We ended up kind of coming back to the same school, and at that point we said, let's just step into this and be committed to each other. And that's my wife, Kimberly, and that's kind of our story. I was thinking about that because I've been studying recently on how relationships work, how people get connected, what are kind of the stages of relationships, and I've kind of realized that there's an early stage in a relationship where you're kind of outside, just kind of looking in, right? That was like me looking at this picture on the refrigerator. Just kind of on the outside looking in, like there's something I'm really interested there, but I don't really know that person at all. We don't really have any relationship at all yet. And then there's a stage where you actually meet someone and you kind of have one foot in the door and you're exploring that relationship. And by the way, if you haven't figured out yet, the picture, the reason why I connected so well, I think, when we met is because that was her on my fridge. Yeah. You're not half as freaked out as I was. Like, what? When I realized this, I didn't realize it at first. It was when I visited her home and I saw the same picture on her fridge. Wow. I've been chasing this woman for a couple months. I didn't even know it. So God was preparing my heart, and then when I was in that next stage, it like gave a big spark. And then eventually when we were like, we knew we were going to be together, then we committed, and we were both feet in on that relationship. And as I think about that, because I think in many ways it's similar to how we become connected to Christ, how we become followers of Jesus. You know, we're here to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus today, but we're kind of all in different stages of our relationship with Him. Jesus was aware of this. In fact, when He would have people around Him, He would sometimes ask them, "Who do you say that I am?" And He would get different kinds of answers from different people, and it kind of let Him know where they were in their relationship with Christ. So today, I just want to ask you, where do you stand with Jesus? You might be on the outside, kind of looking in. Well, this is interesting. I don't really get it yet. Or you might have kind of one foot in the door, checking this out. seen what this is like. Or maybe you're all in, connected to Christ. So think about that for yourself today. Where do you stand with Jesus? Some people are on the outside looking in, and I was thinking about this resurrection story, and I was thinking about someone in the New Testament named Pilate. You see, before Jesus was ever risen from the dead, he about a week before that, he was spending time with his disciples. He's in Jerusalem, but the Jewish leaders were very jealous, and they didn't like him at all. And so they devised a plan where he would be arrested in the middle of the night, and they beat him, and they brought him into this like a fake court thing to try to press some charges. But they really wanted him dead, but they didn't have the authority to kill someone. They were under Roman rule. So they took Jesus to the Roman governor, who was named Pilate. And they said to him, "We don't have the authority to execute this guy. We want you to do it." And so Pilate kind of takes this situation in. He's heard of Jesus, but he doesn't know what to make of him. And so he's asking a lot of good questions. He's asking Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews? Do you hear what they're saying about you? How do you respond to that? Give me some response. Give me some information." And the Bible tells us that as Pilate was just interacting with Jesus, he was amazed at the way he answered, the way he carried himself. There was a wisdom and a power there that was amazing, even to Pilate as the governor. And Pilate even eventually asked him, what is truth, Jesus? He was kind of drawn to him. But Pilate was a very practical man, and he wanted to get answers to his questions. And then as Pilate's working, have you ever been working at work, guys? You're working and you're right in the middle of a project and you're trying to focus, and then you get the text from your wife. A lot of awkward glances are like, yeah, I hate it when that happens, right? Because guys have a one-track mind. Like, I love you, but I can't concentrate on this right now. I have to focus. Pilate gets a text from his wife. Someone comes in, and he's in the middle of this trial. Someone hands him a note from his wife. And the note said, "Don't have anything to do with that innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him." Here's Pilate and his wife both kind of looking in at Jesus. He's looking at it from a really practical, how do I solve a problem perspective. She's really spiritually sensitive. She's having some dream, something's unsettled in her heart, which, by the way, guys, is usually the case. Your wife is usually more spiritually sensitive, so listen to her when she talks to you about those things. But they didn't really know quite what to make of Jesus. I think they both felt like there's something good and innocent here, but what do we do? And in the end, Pilate did what any good governor would do, is he kept the peace among the people. He prevented a riot by giving them what they want. And what they were demanding was Jesus on a cross. They were both outside looking in, and that's as far as they got. The saddest part of their story is that once Jesus has died on the cross, we never hear from them again. Nowhere in the Bible does it talk about Pilate or his wife. Before they were disconnected. They didn't experience any connection with Christ in his resurrection at all. So whatever joy, whatever hope, whatever power Christ brought for people by being raised from the dead, they didn't have any benefit of that. They were just on the outside looking in. Well, maybe you're on the outside looking in today. Maybe you came here to support your family. Maybe someone dragged you here. Maybe you think, man, this is really fascinating, but I don't feel connected to it yet. I want to just encourage you to take one step forward. Just put a foot in the door to learn a little bit more about Jesus and his church. Just take one step forward. A couple of really practical ways you can do that. One is to get to know some Christians. Get to know some Christians and find out what they're like and how Christians are when they interact with each other. Maybe you already know some Christians. You need to get to know some new ones. So you can see, what are these folks like? What does it look like to be Christians together? How do they live? What does it mean to follow Jesus? And with that, ask a lot of questions. Ask questions. Ask them, why do you pray? How do you know God hears? Why do you keep reading the same Bible you've been reading for so long? I mean, the Bible doesn't change. Why do you keep reading it? Ask good questions. Get to know them. Look at how well they love one another and see, is Christ living there? Is that something I want to be a part of? You can't really know that unless you put a foot in the door, unless you kind of enter into their circle a little bit, get to know them and begin to experience what their life is like. So I'm going to encourage you to just take one step in and discover what life is like. Maybe you're not outside. Maybe you've already got a foot in the door. Maybe you've already been here for a while. You may attend a church fairly regularly. Some people attend a church on most Sunday mornings. That's about it, but they've got a foot in the door. Maybe you've even been involved in a Bible study and kind of seen how that works. This is actually not a bad place to be. All disciples of Jesus start off with just one foot in the door. No one just starts off fully committed to Christ. In fact, when Jesus was traveling and teaching, he would invite people to follow him by saying something very simple. He would say, come and see. Hey, what are you doing next week? Come and see. Just come and put a foot in the group and listen. See what Jesus taught. See how he lived. Be a part of the group for a while so that you can learn what this is all about. One of his disciples that had one foot in the door for 3 years, his name was Judas. He was a part of the group. He experienced all the teaching of Jesus. He saw Jesus do miracles and cared for his disciples. He was a part of that, but he never really fully committed to it. He didn't really commit to Christ. So when life got tough for Judas, which it did, he was kind of used and manipulated. And when life got really hard for him, what he did in that moment is he took a step back from Christ. And you can see in the story where he even accepted some money to point out where he was so that Jesus could be arrested. He took a step back from Christ. See, having one foot in the door, which often means having a church you call your own and being a little bit involved, but in a limited way, that's enough that you'll get to know that God is all-knowing. You'll get to know that God is all-powerful. Pretty cool to know God knows you fully and is fully capable of changing your life, but having only one foot in the door, you might not really experience his love. If you know that God is all, he knows all things and he's capable of changing things, but you're not sure that he loves you, that's actually kind of gets scary after a while, because you start to wonder, why hasn't God changed this in my life or that? Why has he left me here to get hurt? And at some point, you'll need to make a decision to either step back and say, whoa, I don't know if I want that. Or you'll get to know him and you'll experience his love and you'll take a second step and become connected to God and to his family. The other 11 disciples, besides Judas, they had one foot in the door for 3 years, but they really got to know him. And when life got hard for them, instead of pulling away, they took a step toward Jesus. And they embraced him, and we find them gathered in an upper room after the resurrection, just kind of waiting. When are we going to be reunited with Jesus? So I want to encourage you, if you're there, if you've had a foot in the door, take the next step. Take the next step. The Bible even encourages us to taste and see that the Lord is good. Keep that foot in the door and then take another step in. What is keeping you from taking that step? I think sometimes we hesitate to put our second foot in because we compare ourselves to the people around us, and maybe we feel like we're not good enough. If I feel like I maybe don't measure up to the people around me, that's a little bit scary. And I need to remember that it's not about how I'm compared to them or I'm accepted to them. It's, have I accepted Christ and been accepted by him? And then do I share that with the people around me? I was visiting with a lady just yesterday, and we were talking about her church background and what our church is like. And she was telling me that she grew up Catholic, she said, but it's really sad because, she said, I'm not allowed to take communion anymore because I've been divorced. So I can go if I want, but I'm not allowed to really participate. I'm like, really? That is really sad. I mean, think about that. You know, and that's kept her just barely having a foot in the door with her faith. I said, you know, it's kind of weird because communion is where we look back and think about Jesus who died for my sins. Why would my sin, we've all sinned, why would my sin keep me from celebrating that? That's actually what leads us into it. It's part of what it means to be an evangelical free church is we're all free to kind of enjoy Christ together, enjoy communion and think back on the gospel based on Jesus and him paying the penalty for our sins. It's for sinners like us. We're accepted already. Some people hesitate to step in further because maybe they're afraid of change or they don't feel like they're ready to change. You know, I've had people tell me, I'm feeling some of this. I like being part of the group, but I also kind of like doing this, and I don't want to stop because it's enjoyable to me. And God's just calling us to come in and trust in him. When I was young, I learned a verse out of Proverbs in the Bible that says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. And I can tell you that I have never regretted trusting in Christ. I've trusted Jesus with so many things, and I've trusted him with my life. He's never let me down. He's never led me astray. I've never regretted taking that second step. And I want to invite you to take that next step today as well, to just have both feet in and become a part of the family. Today is Resurrection Sunday. We're celebrating not just that Jesus, that Jesus rose from the dead. He defeated sin and fear. He conquered death and brought hope. He rose again to bring life and joy. And as happy as I am for Jesus that he rose from the dead, honestly, I find myself thinking about myself a lot, thinking, what about me? Do I get to experience freedom and hope and joy and a future? What does the resurrection of Christ have to do with me? Well, I get to get in on some of that. Do I get to enjoy what he got when he rose from the dead? The